What's going on, everybody? This is Fantasy Sports Today Live. I'm Chris Meaney, and we are coming at you from inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios right here in Toronto. Lots to get to, of course. A busy, busy night in the NBA. We'll talk to DJ Trainer from RotoWire, talk some DFS plays, maybe get some seasonal tips from him as well. And we have the 2014 NFFC Hall of Fame inductee, Christopher Carr, joining us as well to talk a lot about football. We'll take care of some news and notes, a couple things breaking before we get on here. But we want to bring in Tanya Ray Fox from Sports Grid, who does some fantastic work over there. Tanya, welcome to FSC. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you for having me on. This is my first time doing this with you, but it'll be fun. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We've been meaning to get you on, so we're happy to do it. Usually we talk some news and notes off the top. We'll get into some football, some Thanksgiving stuff, some articles that you've written on Sports Grid. But I don't know if you checked this out. Yesterday, Vegas released their team, and a bit of a surprise. We have a clip here. We're going to throw to that. This is just the big revealing of the new logo and the team name. Let's go to that right now.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there you go, the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights. Oh my.
All right. Tanya, first of all, do you think anybody was excited as that guy saying, the Vegas
no.
Golden Knights?
Not even a little bit, particularly because I'm pretty sure that's a clip. Like, I swear I've seen that exact little logo while I've been going through WordPress. I mean, my Microsoft Word. So, yeah. I mean, it's very Vegas, so I get it. You know, like the whole buildup. But Golden Knights is also... I think we're probably all on the same page about Golden Knights. There's just something a little off about that name. So, I don't know. It's a little much.
I thought that they could call them, like, maybe the Vegas Aces, Vegas Crapshoots. Gary Bettman didn't want to go with, you know, a gambling term.
Crap Stables.
But why do you think, like... I know that the joke is on the logo. I mean, it's something that it seems like a logo you could make in like a video game. But
yeah.
Do you think that loss should be taken out of that name? I mean, it's not the Jersey Devils or the Angeles Kings or the York Rangers. A lot of people, when they talk about, you know, I was in Vegas. I wasn't in Las Vegas. Are you fine with that? Just being Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah. You know, I think it should be, you know, if you're going to try to have this team taken seriously, I think the best way to do that would be to treat it the way that all the other teams treat their, you know, this is the city. The city is Las Vegas. It's super kind of like, it's cheesy. It's corny. It's kind of like the rest of Vegas. And that's not a great way to win over sports fans, particularly when it's going to be a team in a place where there aren't a lot of local fans. A lot of people going to those games are going to be people who are fans of other teams, and kind of diminishing your identity to like the Vegas Strip is like not the best idea.
Are you going to go to a game? Would you check it out? Have they sold you?
No. I would never go to a hockey game in Vegas. Like, I mean, I live in LA, so you can go to Kings games here. That's great. I'm a Bruins fan. Like, I do not have to go anywhere to go see a good hockey game, particularly Vegas. I don't love going to Las Vegas at this point as it is. Like, I hit my maximum when I was, you know, you get like to be like 26, 27 as a female before you can go and like start not feeling like a grandma. So I don't go anymore.
Well, there's a producer in the control room who's a Bruins fan. So you got him smiling from ear to ear right now. Let's talk about an article that you wrote on sportsgrid.com. Will Muschamp, coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, talking about Thanksgiving Day just being a meal. And you were kind of touching on that. And in the article, you kind of wrote as well that, you know, Easter is just a big scavenger hunt, as you see there. You want to touch on his comments?
Yeah, I mean, it's like he's doing the whole, like, well, I'm a college football coach and, you know, I take my job seriously and we don't take days off. Or blah, blah. Obviously, that bothers me. It bothers me, like, the insinuation that athletes should have to practice on a federal holiday, particularly because they're student athletes, and so they should be treated like the rest of the student body and be given the day off. So, like, I don't think, like, the football, like, coach thing is cute. Like, he said that line, he's like, well, we'll be practicing, and everybody laughed, and it's like, cool, dude, like, It's like he's doing his best Nick Saban impression or something. He's trying to be really cool. So that bothers me. And then, like, it's like, okay, cool, hot take, buddy. Like, it's a meal, you know? Like, I understand that Thanksgiving doesn't, you don't have to take it super seriously as a holiday. There's some issues with the history of what Thanksgiving is, but that's not what he was getting at. He was just trying to be a show off about how he's taking his team super seriously. And Thanksgiving's a day. You know, you can disagree with the history of the holiday if you want, and if you want to bring that up at a press conference, then go for it. But it's just kind of, it's just, I don't know. This is the reason I sometimes have a problem with college football to begin with.
Well, it's, I mean, you nailed it. It's not like everybody in the school gets the day off that's not athletes. These guys got to practice. And it's not like this team is competing for bowl games. They have a pretty poor record so far. I mean, you mentioned Thanksgiving Day being a day. It's also a day of football. We got three games on the schedule. And this is the first time ever where all six teams are above 500. Which game jumps out to you as the most appealing? I mean, maybe it's Pittsburgh and Indianapolis, still looking like Andrew Luck is not going to be the quarterback in that game.
I mean, I'm a sucker for the Cowboys game. I'm always a sucker for the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving. So that's what's jumping up to me at this point as far as, like, probably what's going to be the most exciting. But I do actually think the Steelers-Colts game is going to be interesting, purely because, well, those are two teams we don't always see on Thanksgiving. I like the switching it up. But also, yeah, there's a lot of injuries on those rosters. They're both teams in, like, these weird divisions where they're kind of, like, bad but not bad enough to not be able to win the division. And so I think we're going to take what we can get as the AFC South. And I don't know. I mean, the Colts, you're going to start, I think they're pretty certain they're going to start Colvin, which is, I know I talked to you a little bit about it over email. Didn't know he was still playing football. Like I was doing my fantasy lineup and I was like, wait, why is he predicted to have 18 points? Like, what's happening? And I had no idea. So I don't know. Like, it's always interesting to see guys come in and try to fill in, especially when the offense is already kind of struggling. And I'd love to see, like, a 350-yard game from Tolzien. And I'm sure I'm going to probably drink enough wine on Thanksgiving to get, like, amped about that situation. So I don't know. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Scott Tolzien, he's $5,000 on DraftKings. We're going to talk a little bit later on in the program of whether he's worth the start or not. Tanya, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Great work over there at sportsgrid.com. I encourage everyone to check it out. Thanks. Enjoy Thanksgiving Day and enjoy the football as well.
Thanks. You too, Chris.
All right, still to come here, Chris Vaccaro. We're going to break down those three games, some news and notes as well. Doesn't look like Stephon Diggs is going to play. More on that. Stick around. FST Live will continue right here on Fantasy Sports Network. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany here with you. We are live. This is FST, and let's bring in the 2014 Hall of Fame inductee, NFFC, Chris Vaccaro. What's going on, buddy? How's it going?
Chris, how's everything, man? Getting ready for big week 12 as we go to our playoff push in fantasy football.
Yeah, that's right. Just a couple weeks away. And this is a big slate on Thursday. I mean, this is the first time I said it off the top, Chris. The first time, really, all six teams above 500. And just a couple news and notes to get going here. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles dealing with injuries. Didn't practice today. Gronk is already ruled out of that game. I don't know if you like Malcolm Mitchell a little bit more with Hogan questionable. Ingram practicing. Sammy Watkins practicing. But rumors are that he could be shut down. Also, some big news. Mike Zimmer is saying that Stephon Diggs may not play. He's unsure if he's going to play. So let's start there, Minnesota and Detroit. I don't know from a DFS perspective if this game is appealing to you, but certainly not to me. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. What's your take on it?
Well, I mean, it's definitely the least attractive game out of the three tomorrow. I would say that much, Chris. But the Stephon Diggs injury, you know, that's a big one, obviously. He, 13 catches the first time they played a couple weeks back. If he's not in the lineup tomorrow, that's a major blow to the Vikings offense and to Bradford. I would give a nice uptick to Kyle Rudolph in the passing game for the Vikings. But like you said, Chris, I would fade that game out of the three if possible.
Yeah, Adam Thielen, a lot of people are talking about him, maybe, but it's really hard to just trust anybody in that receiving core if Diggs is not around and Rudolph is there. Let's talk about this Pittsburgh and Indianapolis game. I mean, a couple days ago, it was looking like it could be the best game on the schedule. You know, Dallas and Washington we'll get to. But now, like, it doesn't look like Andrew Luck is going to play. Scott Tolzien, what does this mean for the Colts' offense? The Steelers' offense, we know it's good. We know Big Ben struggles away sometimes from Heinz Field. But in Indianapolis, I mean, Andrew Luck and Moncrief has touchdowns in 9 of his last 12 games with him. He has to take a downgrade. Who do you think is the guy there that Tolzien will just be better with? Is it Hilton? Is it one of these tight ends? Maybe the most work he's gotten, you know, in minicamp was with Jack Doyle. I mean, how does this offense play out to you?
Well, it's a mystery, Chris. You know, the only thing we have a reference to is preseason when Tolzien was in. We don't have anything much to go off of, but that, you know, I think I would give the edge to Moncrief. He's more of the, you know, move the chains type of wide receiver out of the two of him and Hilton. Hilton's more down the, you know, down the field type of wide receiver. You expect Tolzien not to have too many, you know, drop back passes and throw it down the field type of plays in their playbook tomorrow. But like you said, Chris, this game really took, you know, a turn for the worse with this Andrew Luck news coming out yesterday. I was so excited for this game. I'm sure everybody was. Vegas has this total at about 47. I could have easily seen, if Andrew Luck was in the lineup tomorrow, this total being around 54 points. Two big-time quarterbacks, no weather concerns, obviously, inside in Indianapolis with great wide receivers to throw to. This was going to be a great way to sit down after your Thanksgiving dinner and watch an offensive explosion. But, you know, we're still holding out hope for Andrew Luck. I'll give the uptick, you know, to Moncrief, but it's a shaky proposition trusting either of these Colts wide receivers in this game with Tolzien.
Chris, I'm with you. I think Moncrief is the guy. I think, you know, the short intermediate routes and, you know, how you said he can move the chains and, you know, it's just simple, more simple for Tolzien as opposed to hooking up with T.Y. Hilton down the field. If you had Andrew Luck, though, and there's a couple quarterbacks that are available on the waiver wire, you know, Winston is in a bad matchup against the Seahawks. Maybe you're looking to the waiver wire for a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick, if he's available, I mean, he's had at least 17 fantasy points in all five starts so far. He's making things happen on the ground. Carson Wentz has a great matchup with Green Bay. Are you looking at maybe those two quarterbacks as viable pickup options to start this weekend?
Yeah, you know what, Chris? I am, because I'm a huge Andrew Luck owner. If you look across my high-stakes teams.
I saw you tweet. He ruined your Thanksgiving already.
There you go. You did see that. Andrew Luck is on probably more than 50% of my teams this year. So I am running to the waiver wire. Flacco is one of these guys. I like him this Sunday versus Cincinnati. He's my backup, so I would target him off waivers, you know, if you had a backup Luck. But you hit on the other guy that I'm targeting, and that's Carson Wentz versus that Green Bay mess of a secondary on Monday night. As long as the weather holds up, and now we're into that late November where the weather picks up in, on the East Coast here, you know, as long as the weather is okay, that could be a nice high-scoring game with Carson Wentz going back and forth with Aaron Rodgers. So Wentz would be the guy that I would look at to maybe look for a replacement for Andrew Luck.
The Packers have allowed over 150 points in their last four football games. Unbelievable what's going on in Green Bay. We're used to just seeing them roll all season long. And the offense is good, but the defense, of course, not good. Dallas and Washington, this is a pretty good matchup as well. Dallas just rolling this season. Washington kind of picking up where they left off last season. And Washington did lose to Dallas earlier in the season, but a lot has changed since then. How do you see this game playing out? And touch on Dallas. Are they your Super Bowl favorites right now?
Let's say that this game became the main event of the day once Andrew Luck went down, in my opinion. It was the game I was, you know, I was looking forward to, that Colts-Steelers game, like I said, the most. But this is a great game as well, division rivals. Get your Thanksgiving turkey dinner in right before 4 o'clock and, you know, sit down and watch this game. Nice Vegas total of 52, Chris. So this should be a high-scoring game. It could play out nicely for both sides of the game. I think Washington will struggle running with Rob Kelly in this one. So I think Cousins will have to go to the air a lot. He's got all his weapons back now that DeSean Jackson is back. Crowd is playing great. Jordan Reed will have a nice game here. On the Dallas side, this is an Ezekiel Elliott game, Chris. Look for him to go over 125 and hopefully a couple scores for all us Elliott owners. Other than that, I think the big question here is, does Josh Norman follow Dez around in this game like when he did when he was with Carolina last year and he shut down Dez? In their first meeting, he didn't. The Redskins let Breland follow Dez around, and Dez went for 7 for 100 on him. It boggles my mind why they would not stick Josh Norman, who they gave all this money to stick on Dez Bryant. So, there's different stories out there saying he might not, but it would be a surprise to me if they didn't put Josh Norman on Dez and try and take Dez out of the game tomorrow.
Yeah, apparently Norman can only play one side of the football field. I mean, it was week two. It was Dallas 27, Washington 23. We got to get out of here, Chris, but there's a lot of tough matchups. I mean, Julio Fitz, Bryant, Marshall, Hopkins, Evans, Odell Beckham Jr. can all have some top-tier quarterbacks on them. Chris, we really appreciate your time. Good luck. Enjoy the football. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and let's do this again soon, man.
You too, Chris. Enjoy.
All right, take care. That's Christopher Carr right there, 2014 NFFC Hall of Fame inductee. This guy really knows his football. Great follow on Twitter. Let's talk some NBA DFS. Let's bring in DJ Trainer next on from RotoWire. Stick around. FSD will continue right here on Fantasy Sports Network. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany here with you. 13 games in the association. A ton of action happening tonight, of course. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so a night off for the NBA. But they're getting it all in here today, so we're bringing in DJ Trainer from RotoWire to talk some NBA. How's it going, man?
It's going well.
Let's get right into it. There's a lot of just injuries, and all of this will surface closer to tip-off. But Dirk is expected to be playing today against the Clippers. Bogut looks like he's out. Darren Williams looks like he's out. Paul George looked like he's upgraded to probable. A lot of questionable decisions right now, and a lot of guys to choose from. How does your strategy change when there's so many games today? Like, how do you put together your lineups?
Yeah, definitely. So last night we only had about four games. You usually have to go with the stars and scrubs approach. So you had Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, and you really had to choose one of them and then kind of compose your lineup from one of those top guys. Tonight, when you have so many games, what I like to do is there's so many $6,000 price guys and $7,000 guys that can break out for 40 or 50 points. I just try to fill my lineup with as many as I can because we know there's a lot of value to be had when there's more games on the slate. So I actually try to stay away from the stars and scrubs approach. But there's so many games, you really can implement any type of strategy you want because there's so many players available.
So who are some of those middle-tier guys that you'd rather? I mean, I get that strategy. I mean, more of a well-balanced team. I mean, who are some of those middle-tier guys that you're looking at?
Yeah, definitely. So somebody like a Kevin Love at power forward who's $7,800 on FanDuel, about $7,700 on DraftKings, going up against Portland tonight. Portland is the worst at defending power forward so far in terms of fantasy. They're giving up the most fantasy points. They're missing out for Okaminu. And of course, we know Cleveland can rely on Kevin Love if they need to. So that would be an example of a middle tier price player who, you know, he's really solid, but he's not an elite option like a Russell Westbrook where you really have to pay up. And it's possible that Love could score 50 fantasy points tonight, and of course you'd get him at a reasonable price.
We have a big enough sample size now to kind of look at, you know, who struggles at each position, which teams. And one thing I love about RotoWire is plenty of things, obviously, but one of the things I like is that you guys give the points against per position. And I noticed there's a couple nice matchups for point guards today.
Yeah, definitely. So the first I'd be looking at would be Isaiah Thomas going up against Brooklyn. Brooklyn's pretty much just bad all around, but they're especially bad against the point guard so far this year. Thomas is $8,200, $8,000 on DraftKings. Brooklyn giving up the most to point guards. I think that he could outproduce Russell Westbrook, CP3, Damian Lillard, Curry tonight. Most importantly, he has such a high floor. He only has one game where he's gone under the 30-point benchmark. That's super reliable for somebody who's priced $8,200. The other one, Chris, I'd go with is Elfrid Payton. He's going up against Phoenix. Phoenix is giving up the third most points to point guards this season. Somebody who's about $5,700 or $5,900. He's had some stinkers so far this season, but you know what? He's reached 41 and 51 fantasy points this season. That's certainly something we'd be hoping for tonight as well.
Well, hopefully Thomas just doesn't go after a big man like Gorgui Dieng, because I don't think he could take him. I don't know if you saw that, but he only goes up to his waist, and he tried to get into it with him just in the previous game for the Celtics.
Many people in the league.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Clippers and Mavericks game. Mavericks, as I talked about off the top, just a whole lot of struggling. Guys are in and out of the lineup. There seems to be some value there with some guys like Seth Curry, Harrison Barnes, but the price has really jumped out at you. Dallas has always struggled against big man. You got the narrative there with DeAndre Jordan, close to being a Mav a couple seasons ago. Is he a strong play for you tonight?
Yeah, he definitely is. I think you mentioned that Bogut is out as well, so all the more reason to perhaps rely on Jordan. Exactly, that narrative is there. I love to look at revenge games because NBA players, for whatever reason, really get up when there's a storyline to be had. Most importantly, it's not just, you know, it's not talk. You and me talking about it. It's not some made up a story. Last year, when he went into Dallas, he was averaging 16 points and 15.5 rebounds when playing in Dallas. So it's very real. He played up for that. Again, you can get the differential play with him at center, considering that he's the 10th highest center on FanDuel and the 15th highest center on DraftKings. So you're going to get some differential there as well.
Who are some value guys that you're looking at? You said off the top, you know, sometimes I like to start my lineups that way, especially when there's so many games. I just look at the bottom of the price and just say, who can I plug in here? And that allows me to go elsewhere with some bigger names. Who are some of the guys that jumped out at you today?
Yeah, the first one I'll be looking at is Terrence Jones. Anthony Davis had that knee contusion. He didn't come back from it last night, but it's possible they'll rest him just to be safe tonight. We'll have to wait closer to game time to decide on that. But Terrence Jones has been playing alongside Anthony Davis. Even if Davis plays, Jones has been averaging, it looks like, 29 minutes over the last five games. That equates to about 31.5 FanDuel points. For somebody who's $5,100 on FanDuel and $5,400 on DraftKings, averaging at least 31 fantasy points, I like that a whole lot. He would be somebody that, under that strategy, Chris, is the first guy I would put in my lineup and maybe build around Terrence Jones. Yes. I would build a lineup around Terrence Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to fit into that Pelican squad. This is a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy over the past couple seasons, but when he's healthy, he's got so much talent. I'm a sucker for Terrence Jones, but sticking with this Pelicans team, I mean, you got Jrue Holiday coming back and still on a minutes restriction. I mean, you touched on Anthony Davis in and out of the lineup all the time. Tim Frazier still productive, even though Jrue Holiday's back. Langston Galloway's a guy who's picking up too. What do you make of this Pelican squad? Are any of those guys, like, do you think that people should maybe just take a flyer on Langston Galloway? I know he's not starting, but he seems to be getting a lot of shots, and we like that in fantasy.
Yeah, of course. Opportunity is the most important stat, if you will, in fantasy. I'm honestly perplexed with this Pelicans team. I did not expect Tim Frazier to have this much output, even with Jrue Holiday coming back for the last three games. Tim Frazier is the guy I'm going to look at more because he's still reasonably priced. I think he put up like 54 or 56 fantasy points last night. Him and Jrue Holiday are playing in tandem, which is surprising me. But you know what? If they're going to implement that strategy, Frazier's going to be a bargain for as long as they continue to roll with that.
All right, DJ, we really appreciate your time. Yeah, I think Frazier's a guy, you know, a lot of people just dropped him when Jrue Holiday came back, and I don't think they should. I think he's a guy that's going to be involved in that offense, and certainly we saw it yesterday. DJ, we really appreciate your time. Good luck in basketball, and enjoy all 13 games because I know you'll be watching them.
Will do. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. That's DJ Trainer right there from RotoWire. I'd like to thank Chris Vaccaro as well, the 2014 NFFC Hall of Fame inductee, and Tanya Ray Fox. Check out all her work on SportsGrid. Again, just a couple news and notes for football that we didn't really get off the top of the show. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, both dealing with injuries, not practicing today. So it looks like Wendell Smallwood, that game is on Monday, but it looks like Wendell Smallwood is going to get the bulk of the work up against the Green Bay Packers, who have given up a lot of points over the last four games. And Sammy Watkins did return to practice today with a foot injury. But there's some reports out of Buffalo that he actually could be shut down for the season, and they'll just kind of take it with a grain of salt day by day for the next 3 weeks. I don't know if you can trust Sammy, but you need to pick him up. We'll be here live tomorrow. Have a good day.